So how do you ensure transparency in online transaction, which becomes a cornerstone for a lot of people adopting it? So they have a clear product descriptions. So ensure that the platform should ensure that they have accurate details on size, materials and specifications. The pricing has to be transparent. So you include the total cost, break it up into taxes. If you're charging shipping fees, then shipping fees. Have a clear cut return and refund policies. Therefore, if you do that, then the buyers also are protected from the financial loss, and even seller knows when they're doing business, what kind of, if they don't follow certain thing, or the consumer can return the goods back. Authenticity verification. So seller's rating has to be authentic, and customer reviews also has to be authentic to ensure that there is a trust. So the platform should not create these synthetic authenticity of the feedbacks. The e-commerce platform must be compliant. So they must ensure that all the companies there have a clear and fair trade practices. So what are the rights and protections for rural customers? So they have right to information. So consumers can access truthful and clear product details which are there on the e-com site. Right to safety, which means e-commerce platform must ensure that the product quality and compliance are there. Right to redressal, so in case you have complaints, that has to be resolved very quickly. Consumer Protection Act of 2019, which regulates the digital transactions and fair practice, must be followed. And of course, government helplines and campaigns are available under Jago Grahak Jago, which promotes consumer awareness. So what happens in case there is fraud, and to ensure that the fraud does not repeat by securing the transactions? How can you do that? So you encourage the use of secure payment methods like encrypted payments via UPI, digital wallets, bank transfer. Try to have two-factor authentication wherever required. So whether it is through OTP or biometric verification, because these two-factor authentication will add to the security layers. Ensure that the seller is verified. That means background checks on the seller is done by the platform. So the buyers are safe. They know that there is a genuine seller with a genuine product. Also, the platform must keep having customer awareness programs online and offline basis, so that they make the buyers aware on the scams or the phishing or cybersecurity threats that are currently there. More importantly, in case there is a fraud issue which comes up and the customers are about to complain, then the complaint and resolution system must be transparent, straightforward, and encourage people to put the complaints wherever they exist. Quality assurance and product authenticity. So the platform has to ensure that the quality is there of all the products that they put, and also the product is original and not counterfeit. So how do they do that? They verify the sellers and the products. So by verifying sellers, they do the background checks, and for products, they can do quality testing before they list out or take certificates from a certifying authorities. Also, ensure that the consumer feedback, which will help the new buyer make informed choices, are very fair and transparent. Buyers must also have options for return and replacement, and that policy must be put clear so that the buyers are protected in case any faulty goods land at their place. Third-party quality checks, as we discussed, certification services for items like seeds or electronics must be there. And the e-commerce company or the platform must enforce strict quality control measures. So how do you strengthen consumer confidence in rural e-commerce? First thing is awareness. So always awareness with more workshops, training, programs help in enhancing consumer confidence in the rural e-commerce. Second is you strengthen the legal enforcement to hold sellers accountable for malpractices. By doing that, you give buyers the confidence that sellers will not be doing something which is illegal, and thereby the goods that they get would be very legal, original, and whatever they claim to be. Thirdly, you expand the consumer grievance redressal mechanism for better support. In spite of all this thing, if some incident does happen, then having a good grievance center or grievance methodology gives confidence to the consumer about the rural e-commerce. Ethical practice, keep encouraging through training, workshops to ensure that geographical distances are not taken advantage of, and the platform also takes responsibility and ownership of that. And you have inclusive policies that cater to specific need of rural buyers also. So we were now thinking, we were saying rural sellers, but let's say you have rural buyers, they also have some little different challenges than urban buyers. So you must have a very all-inclusive policies that also takes care of their needs. How does digital payment regulations and financial inclusions helps the rural inclusion and rural businesses? So we have now seen over other chapters that digital payments are actually transforming financial access in rural areas because you're going away from the cash. So if you have a secure and inclusive regulatory framework as well, the adoption will become widespread. Secondly, the governments and financial institutions play a key role in policy implementation. So they must ensure that the tax is deducted at source and so on and so forth. Regulatory focus on security, accessibility, and affordability will give that extra confidence. And to have, by ensuring trust in digital transactions, you will accelerate the financial inclusion. What kind of policies do you require to support digital payments in rural areas? So the first thing is you must have simplified KYC norms. So if you can do Aadhaar-based eKYC, then you can set up the account quickly. Second, have the interoperability between payment systems. So UPI actually plays that part. Have a low-cost payment solution. So you have policies that cap transaction fees to enhance affordability, especially in the rural sector. And ensure that you follow RBI security guidelines like two-factor authentication and process for monitoring fraud. That will give more confidence and support the digital payment in rural areas. A lot of mobile e-wallets come up with incentives for adoption of rural digital transactions like cashbacks and fee waivers. So there the government also can do a lot of these things to encourage more adoption of the digital payments. What is the government's role in securing digital transactions? So government must have a good cyber security policies which the platforms can follow. So programs like Cyber Surakshit Bharat enhances the awareness. Try to have real-time transaction monitoring. So if there are any frauds, with the help of AI, you can track it. Have a data protection laws to ensure that all the data that you get of every customer or buyer or seller or any third party provider, you keep it secure and you handle it in a certain way. In case after all this also, if you have a grievance, then RBI Ombudsman is there to help you resolve these disputes or have a good grievance redressal model. You can also collaborate with other stakeholders. Like governments can actually partner with fintech firms or banks to ensure that the policy reaches the last mile. So, government comes up with regulations, and using these regulations, they promote financial inclusion. So, what have they allowed? They have allowed digital wallets and mobile banking. Now, by doing that, you have expanded the banking access in rural areas without necessarily having a branch there. You also supported the digital literacy. So you have programs like PMG Disha, which educate the rural users, the rural users. You have self-help groups and cooperatives who take advantage of digital payments and microfinance MFIs to bring a lot of latest tech to the customer. Then you also can get subsidized digital infrastructure like POS devices, mobile ATMs that can enhance the accessibilities. And more important, the Jan Dhan accounts, which facilitates financial independence by empowering women and marginalized group to also have accounts and be part of the formal economy. So what are the policies and rules that have tried to enhance the trust in rural digital transactions? So the first one is, of course, consumer protection measures. So there are policies mandate which clearly have a transaction guideline. Second, the payment gateways are made secure by encryption and authentication to prevent fraud. Third, you are having a lot of literacy campaigns to educate users. Fourth, you are having a strong regulatory oversight. So the regulator also continues checks whether the policy is getting implemented, followed by the platform to ensure safety of everyone. And you're encouraging digital credit and saving by promoting the mobile-based financial tools. Now, the moment you start using digital credits and saving and get out of cash, the trust is really built in all the data that you start providing, and that helps in rural digital transaction. Are there any challenges? The biggest challenge for digital payment adoption is, as we have discussed, is the internet connectivity problem. If the internet connectivity is not reliable or continuous, then anyone will find it difficult to do the digital payment adoption, because the payment, if it can't happen because lack of internet, then the transaction will not get completed. Also, rural users are very traditional in nature. They don't get educated fast, so they take some time to adopt. So that's a challenge. The trust deficit, fear mongering and everything is another challenge which is faced in digital payment adoption. There's high dependence on cash economy because of transactional habits that is slowing down the transition. And most of the digital payment solutions are either in English or some of them in Hindi, but they're not there in local languages, and that also becomes challenge in adoption. Intellectual property and branding in rural businesses. So intellectual property rights protects the rural innovations, the rural products, and ensures that it is not copied by everyone so easily, or even copied and promoted. So therefore, you need a strong IPR, and more importantly, the awareness. Now, once a rural seller creates a new thing and creates an IPR, then the branding is equally important. So you need branding, and the IP rights must be fair. Now, geographic indications, GIs, provide unique branding opportunities for local products like Alfonso mangoes coming from the coastal region of Maharashtra. So there's a GI, Basmati rice, and things like that. So I think as a country, we should encourage more GIs. For the rural seller, we must have a good IPR policy and facility to ensure the IPR and then control it. So what kind of protections are there in intellectual property right? So first is patent. So you can protect your new agriculture tools or organic fertilizer or any other rural innovations by having a patent against this. Second, you can secure your business name, logos, and product packaging with the help of trademarks. Thirdly, any artistic work that you do or marketing material or product designs, you can protect it with copyrights. Fourth, you protect the traditional knowledge, craft techniques, and unique recipes by having trade secrets around it. And if you have a region-specific products with cultural significance, then you try to protect it through geographical indications like champagne, basmati rice, Alfonso mango, and so on and so forth. We've been talking about GIs or geographic indication and how it is helping in rural branding. Let us go a bit deeper. So GIs actually certify the product's origin and its unique characteristics. Once you get a GI certificate, the demand increases because then people know there's a genuine thing, And because the demand increases, you can have premium pricing. Also, it helps in preserving the cultural methods, traditional methods of the item being developed or produced, and thereby have a lot of local benefits. So examples of all this is Darjeeling tea. So you have tea which is grown in Darjeeling, so no one else can call their tea a Darjeeling tea. Or a Channapatna toys. These are handcrafted wooden toys which is coming from the area of Karnataka. So I cannot start making it in Mumbai and call it a Channapatna toys. Same thing, Pochampally ikat, which is a textile weaving from Telangana. So it's very unique to that. So you have GIs around it. And because you have the GI, you can strengthen the, you can come up with different brands around it. And because it strengthens the authenticity, and you can push the brand to get global recognition. So what are the challenges in accessing IP protection? In India, one of the biggest challenge always will be lack of awareness. So many rural entrepreneurs are unfamiliar with IP laws, so they have to be made familiarized. Then there is high cost of this registration. For example, patents and trademarks can be expensive for small business. Also, there is a complex legal procedures to get it. So therefore, many entrepreneurs, whether rural or urban, kind of avoid it. There's a very limited legal support because there are very few IP experts available to guide the rural entrepreneurs. And again, in India, there's a lot of weak enforcement. So you can't protect your registered ID without resources, and that is why a lot of people just let it go. So what is the solution? Of course, education, workshops, digital tools to spread the awareness. Second, give them financial assistance through governments and NGOs so they can register their products, services, method, trademarks, or patents, or whichever way. Make the process simplified for the rural applications. Also, provide legal aid in case they require to file. So regional centers must provide that. And lastly, which requires a lot of commitment from the government across the country, which is a very strong enforcement of the IPR rights. Why do people go for IPR and branding in rural business growth? So we remember branding. We are able to have access. There are some emotions attached to brand via marketeers. But some local brand gives you the origin, the authenticity, the process very clearly. So your market credibility is built. You also get legal security in case someone copies and does an unfair competition with you. And because of that, demand increases, you get more opportunities. And because it is very rural and local, the opportunities are actually for rural artisans, which also preserves the local culture. And you are able to bring all these local cultural things to the global consumers. So you boost it. You can also charge a premium pricing. And therefore, the rural entrepreneurs can be empowered and also encouraged to preserve the cultural heritage. So how do you simplify regulatory process in rural e-commerce? So you have currently complex regulations. One has to simplify it. The government and the other organizations are working on it. You have to streamline the process that will encourage business growth and digital participation. Digital platforms have reduced to some extent the bureaucratic burdens and improved the accessibility. However, the future policy must focus on including people, make it efficient, and ensure that the market expansion takes place. So, what are the government efforts? So, they're trying to simplify GST registration and also lower the tax burden. They're coming up with single window approvals for rural businesses. Government is doing a lot of awareness campaigns to ensure that people are aware of all its policies and the benefits that they're trying to give to rural inventors or business guys. They are bringing a lot of incentive for digital adoption in terms of financial support, branding support, etc. So people can take advantage of it. and the government also knows that it can't reach everywhere. So they are coming up with public-private collaborations, which will give access and increase support to the rural business people. So which are the digital platforms for compliance and licensing? So you have first an online portal for Udyam registration portal, which simplifies the MSME registration. Then you have mobile apps like GST Suvidha and DigiLocker, which helps you to ease your tax filing and document management. Then you get a lot of digital training resources in forms of tutorials and guides. You have a e-marketplace compliance support from Amazon and Flipkart, again for GST and logistics. You also get automated tracking and AI-based regulatory monitoring to ensure transparency. How can you reduce the bureaucratic barriers for rural entrepreneurs? So if you have one nation, one license policy, you can eliminate redundant state-wise registration. So if I am a rural entrepreneur and I am working out of 2-3 states, so instead of taking licenses at 2-3 different states, if I can have one license across the nation, it will ease my way of doing business. Make the approval process digitized so that it becomes faster. Ensure that you have a facilitation center for rural businesses. You simplify financial access using Jan Dhan and Mudra schemes that have come, so that reduces the loan application hassles. And more importantly, lower the compliance cost in form of fee waivers and exemptions for micro enterprises. What are the future trends in e-commerce policies for rural business? So to expand digital infrastructure, investment will be done in high-speed rural internet. To ensure cybersecurity and data protection, you will have enhanced digital transaction safety measures put in place. Sustainable and green policies, you will get incentives for eco-friendly rural business. For export-friendly regulations, you will get simplification, certification process will be simplified for global market access. And for adaptive policies, you will get flexibilities to go ahead with the technology advancement. What will be the role of public-private partnerships in these regulations? So private partnership will take place. The government will collaborate with e-commerce platforms to train rural sellers. They'll also come up with logistic partnerships for the last mile deliveries. They'll tie up with fintech and digital payments by integrating UPI-based payment systems. The government can set up an industry task force for joint policy making for e-commerce growth. And a lot of knowledge sharing networks can come up, which will connect all the rural entrepreneurs with industry leaders so that exchange of ideas can take place. Digital training and capacity building. So there'll be workshops and webinars to keep educating sellers. You will have e-learning platforms so that people in their local language at their convenience keep learning. You will get real-time updates in mobile apps to check not only for regulatory changing but for the business parameters that you are looking for. You can also have mentorship programs which can connect the entrepreneurs with legal and financial experts. And you can have knowledge centers in village or gram panchayat where the locals, which becomes a local support hub for e-commerce guidance. Export support. So in case people are able to export local products, so you can simplify their export procedures. You can support, the government can support for international certification, which opens up the global markets for these entrepreneurs. You could have a cross-border e-commerce platform that can sell products across countries. You can do a trade agreements and partnership. So therefore, rural export can take place. And also you equip the rural entrepreneurs for success by training them on global business standards. Financial inclusion for regulatory compliance. So you ensure that once you take details of finance, microfinance and small business, that you become access for rural business. all government subsidies for compliance cost can like reducing registration and tax burden can be taken advantage of. Financial literacy programs can educate entrepreneurs on tax and banking systems. You can integrate digital payments, making it secure and seamless. And also you can have a risk management and insurance schemes to protect the rural entrepreneurs. How do you strengthen the resilience for policy changes? You can have regular policy reviews to ensure that you adapt to emerging e-commerce trend. The government can support for transitioning of business to adapt to the new rules in case new rules come into play. You can also encourage innovation in rural e-commerce by funding the tech-driven solutions. You can have a responsive feedback system, so you come to know what is the rural voices or the feedbacks from the ground. You can have a sustainable policy implementations which balances the economic growth and the regulatory ease of doing business. How do we see the future of rural e-commerce policies? You will have a more inclusive regulatory framework to ensure more and more rural participation is there. There will be a lot of technology-driven compliance ease, making the bureaucratic burdens easily taken care. You could also have a lot of public-private collaboration to create tailored solution for rural business. So different rural areas could have a different solutions for them. Because you will streamline the export regulation, a lot of rural entrepreneurs can get global opportunities because of that. And lastly, sustainable, adaptive and scalable policies will ensure that you get a long-term rural growth. So with that, we come to end of this chapter. Thank you.